Okay, let's pray together. Our Heavenly Father, who loves us and saved our soul and gave us eternal life, Father, we thank you for your amazing grace and love. All over the country and all over the world, there are many churches, and because of COVID-19, this pestilence, many of us are suffering. There are many limitations and difficulties in our Christian life, and preaching the gospel is being affected by this pandemic. We don't know well about your holy will or what it is, but in these end times, whatever is happening in this world, we know that you protect us from all the plagues happening in this world. And we pray that this pestilence comes to an end so that in these end times we may preach your gospel and fulfill the mission you gave us. We really sincerely pray that you put an end to this pandemic. And in this time as well, we thank you for allowing us to guide us here to listen to your word. Although it's difficult to gather together and we are listening to the sermon online in this country and all over the world, we pray that you give us the word that we need and that we rely on you more and obey your word even more. And let us preach your gospel. And for this, please give us your strength and wisdom and courage. If there are any brothers and sisters suffering because of diseases or sicknesses, please remember them. And Father, hold them tightly with your hand of power and heal them quickly so that in these end times they may serve you and live for you. Please give them the opportunity to do so. And there are many brothers and sisters preaching the gospel in very difficult situations, keeping their Christian life and faith. Please help them and protect them with your powerful hands so that no one stumbles down. Let them be used to fulfill your holy works. Give us the word we need according to due season. And let us know how we have to live. In this time as well, please open your word and will and let us know how we have to live. Please teach us. We prayed in our Lord's name, Jesus Christ. Amen. Now let's read John chapter 14. Let's open John chapter 14. John 14, verse 13. And 14. John chapter 14, verse 13 and 14. And whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. Okay, now the choir will praise the Lord. Now, because of COVID-19, we are having many difficulties, but this is one of the pestilences that were prophesied in the Bible of the end times. We know this, but still, we born-again Christians are having a hard time trying to serve God and preaching the gospel. But we have to do it. We are praying that God takes away this disease so that we could live our Christian life and preach the gospel. It's not for us to live a more convenient life. You know, I think sometimes for born-again Christians, no matter what kind of difficulties there are, we could win with our faith. And even in the difficult times, we could obey God's word and serve God and live our Christian life. And whenever God comes back, whenever Jesus comes back, we should be ready, and we are ready for him to come back. But still, there are many souls that are not born again yet, and we can't just end the world here. This is the time of Christianity, and there are so many so-called Christians all over the world, many denominations, many churches, and there are many pastors. But as we know, and as it is written in the Bible, there are so few that preach the true gospel. Even there may be fewer that are really preaching the true gospel. But anyhow, we are living in these end times and giving all we can. We are ready to even give up our life for the sake of the gospel. So we are praying sincerely that God gives us the last chance to preach the gospel. So in the New Testament it says that I will come quickly, and amen, Lord Jesus, come back quickly. And then the Bible comes to an end. It's Revelation 22, verse 20. Surely I am coming quickly. Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. Now, anyhow, all the plans of the Lord are being fulfilled, and the world is coming to an end. And when the end comes, we know that the judgment of the Lord will be poured down to this world. And for born-again Christians, when the world comes to end, everything we can do will come to an end, the Lord will come back, and we will be taken up to heaven. Surely I am coming quickly, he said. And the answer to that is, amen, even so, come Lord Jesus. I have that heart too, but I also have this heart that, oh Lord, could you come a little later, please? Why? Because there are so many people who are not saved yet. We have the responsibility to preach to them, and I really pray that God gives us another chance. And we have to do whatever we can do, everything we can do in these end times to preach the gospel. And I believe that he will listen to our prayers and give us a last chance. And I believe that this pandemic will come to an end soon as well. The plagues that will be poured down in this world in the end times is very, very serious. But anyhow, what we are facing right now, I believe, is something that God is allowing to happen to discipline us and train us. But also, I believe that he will give us another chance to preach the gospel. Last week, we learned about the very basic and fundamental things about our Christian life. There are four elementals, four fundamentals for our Christian life: the word, prayer, fellowship, and service. So these four elements are very important for a Christian life. Even in our daily lives, there are things we have to do to keep our health, right? We have to eat healthy, exercise, and so on and so on. Although salvation is only by the works of the Lord, but after salvation, there is a life that Christians have to live, and the Lord wrote down all about that in the Bible. Now, born-again Christians have to think about how we can live according to the will of the Lord. How can we live our Christian life the right way? So, to live the right Christian life, it's not only by our own will and efforts, but we have to learn what the Bible says. We have to learn what the Bible tells us how to do, how the Bible says we should live. And we talked about the car last time. For the car to roll, it has to have four wheels, in most cases. If it's a four-wheel car, then it has to have four wheels, just like that. For a Christian to live the right, ordinary, normal Christian life, there are four wheels of our Christian life. There are four things we really need that are very fundamental for our Christian life. And last week, we talked about one. We talked about the Word last week. And today, we are going to talk about prayer. And we're going to continue about the other fundamentals. But today, we're going to talk about prayers. And as a born-again Christian, our life is not about how we should be rich or how we should be successful in the world. That's the same as the world. That's not how a Christian should live. You know, Enoch was saved by faith, and that's not it. He lived his whole life walking together with God, and then God took him up to heaven while he was still alive. And before Enoch was taken, it says that he was taken, he had this testimony that he pleased God. And that is something we have to remember. And we're living in a time that God could take us up to heaven while we are still alive. And it's not just like we should think, like, oh, he's going to take us, hooray. It's not only about that. Before we stand in front of God, we have to think about how we should live in front of him. God will calculate how we lived, and we should live a Christian life that is not embarrassing, not shameful in front of him. We have to think how we could please God while we are still alive. The Bible says, Test what would please God. Find what would please him. So we should have the heart desiring to please God, desiring to live the right Christian life. Well, if you're born again and saying, oh, I don't want to live the right Christian life, then is that the right mind of a born-again Christian? I don't think so. Although we are weak, although we are very small and ignorant and foolish, God gives us the strength, the word, the power to live as a Christian. So we could live our remaining life in this world to please God. We could give efforts, and we should give efforts to live the right Christian life. And we have to learn what the right life is through the Bible. And we have to actually try to live that right life. You know, even in the world, when you try to do something, it doesn't happen just automatically or naturally, right? Some things happen naturally, but there are many things that don't. And that's the same for Christian life. It doesn't happen just automatically. When we think about the grace that God saved us, was that automatic? No. God gave His only begotten Son to die for us. He took the judgment for us. He was whipped for our sake. He shed blood for our sake. He died for us. He shed all His blood on the cross and forgave our sins. He saved us. But although we're saved like that, just living for God, that doesn't happen automatically. We have to try to live the right life. And how can we live the right Christian life? We have to learn it through the Bible. And if we learn it, we have to try to live up to the Word. So today, we're going to learn about prayer. It's very crucial and fundamental for a Christian life. And the verses we just read is a sermon that Jesus gave before the night He was taken. He told this to His disciples, but it's not only for His disciples, it's for us as well, for all born-again Christians. John 14, verse 13, "And whatever you ask in My name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son." Now, born-again Christians, whether they eat or drink or whatever they do, they should do for the glory of God. And something we really have to do to glorify God is praying. "Whatever you ask in My name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son." If you ask anything in My name, I will do it. This is a great privilege given to Christians. Is there anybody that could do this for us? We just ask and somebody gives it to us? Only God could do this. It's a great privilege given to us. Prayer is an amazing privilege given to Christians. And it is something that Christians must do. It is a great obligation that Christians have to do, prayer. So, praying is an order given to us that we have to do, and it is a very fundamental, crucial factor of our Christian life. In 1 Samuel 12, verse 23, it says that "Moreover, as for me, far be it from me that I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for you." When the Israelites were in a very difficult time, Samuel had the obligation to pray. So he said that I should be far be it from me that I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray. Ceasing to pray is a sin. And moreover, Christians, if they know to do good and don't do it, it's a sin, the Bible says. If we know something is a good thing to do and we don't do it, that is a sin. That is disobedience. "Therefore, to him who knows to do good and does not do it, to him it is sin," it says in James 4, verse 17. But think about it. Are we obeying the Word of God? We have to first know how important prayer is. Not praying is a sin. Not preaching the gospel, it's a sin. Apostle Paul said, "If I don't preach the Word of God, woe to me." If we know something is good to do and don't do it, it is a sin. If you know you have to do something and don't do it, you will be punished a lot, the Bible says. Even if you say, "Oh, I didn't do bad things, and I'm living a good life compared to the people of the world," well, thank you, but you have to do more than that. You have to know the Master's will and do it. So So today we are going to focus about prayer. And there are so many verses in the Bible that talks about prayer. And I can't talk about all of them today, but some people say, praying, isn't that something very formal? Isn't it like wasting time? Well, would God say do something that you don't have to do? I don't think so. If we learn through the Bible why we have to pray, then we'll understand better. You know, to save us, God, the Creator, the Holy One, came to this world in the form of man. And he took all the affliction that man could take and saved us. And at the same time, the life of Jesus Christ is the role model of all born-again Christians. Jesus washed his disciples' feet and said, I'm the Lord and Master Teacher, I'm washing your feet, you should do the same. I'm doing this so that you should follow my case. Jesus said that you should follow what I do. Jesus became a role model of how we should live. And among the things Jesus did, Jesus really prayed a lot. The Bible says that he prayed a lot. If you look at Mark, it says, Mark 1:35, it says, Jesus got up early in the morning, a long while before daylight. He went out and departed to a solitary place, and there he prayed. And in Luke 6 verse 12, it says that Jesus went to the mountain and continued all night in prayer to God. And then, when it was day, he chose 12 disciples and called them apostles. When Jesus was about to do something very important, he went to the mountain and prayed all night. He prayed all night. And think about how long he prayed and how much he prayed. And if you look at the end of Luke, in Luke 22, verse 44, at the end, before he was taken to Gethsemane, he kneeled down. Jesus prayed so much. And being in agony, he prayed more earnestly. Then his sweat became like great drops of blood falling down to the ground. And medically, if you really are in great agony, blood is mixed in your sweat. So this actually happened, and it's a fact. He was in agony and prayed earnestly. Why? Because there was something very important about to happen. He was about to get crucified. If he doesn't think about anything and is suddenly crucified, then that's not much. But Jesus had the liberty to choose whether he would be crucified or not. He prayed that, don't do my will, but your will. Father, if it is your will, take this cup away from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done, he said. And Romans 8 verse 34, it says, who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died, and furthermore is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. Jesus was ascended to heaven. He is at the right hand of God, and he is still making intercession for us. He is still praying for us. Praying is a very important thing. Jesus showed us how important it is to pray. And all the prophets in the Old Testament and all the apostles in the New Testament prayed. They prayed with all their hearts. They gave effort to pray, and the Lord taught us to pray. Luke 18 verse 2, it says, saying there were that you had to pray all the time. And in Acts chapter 1 verse 13 to 14, it talks about 120 disciples praying together in the attic. In the mountains they prayed, and when in the day of Pentecost the Holy Spirit came down onto them. And Jesus asked us to pray very sincerely. Matthew 26, 41, Jesus said, "Watch and pray lest you enter into temptation." In the end, before he was crucified, Jesus was praying with blood, but the disciples were sleeping. Jesus went and said, "Don't sleep, get up and pray. Can't you please pray with me 1 hour?" And when Jesus was being captured, they all were afraid and ran away. And it's the same for us. If we don't pray, when something happens, we'll be afraid and run away. It's not only disciples that were cowards. If we don't pray, how can we win against the tests and temptation? How can we win against the afflictions? Even Jesus prayed before the cross. He asked God to give him strength and for God's will to be done. We have to pray. And also in 1 Thessalonians 5 verse 17, it says, "Pray without ceasing." The apostles talked about praying a lot. Pray without ceasing doesn't mean that you should be praying with your lips all the time. It means that you have to have the heart of praying all the time. You have to be ready to talk with God all the time. If you don't pray, then something else will come in. Colossians 4 verse 2 says, "Continue earnestly in prayer, being vigilant in it with thanksgiving." Being vigilant. Praying is being vigilant. And if you don't pray, you may be spiritually sleeping. As the Lord said, praying is a privilege given to Christians. It's a privilege. Whatever you ask in my name, I will do it. Isn't that amazing? Let's say there's somebody very rich and has great power, and he gives you a blank check. Just write write whatever you need, I'll give it to you. I don't care how much you write down. You go to the bank, write down the number, you'll get it. Let's say somebody gives us a blank check like that. Wow, that'd be great, right? And God, the creator of the heavens and the earth, if you ask anything in his name, he will listen. If you ask anything in my name, it means that he is giving his name to us. And it also has his works inside his name. How can we ask anything to God? But if we ask anything in his name, he will do it. This is a great privilege, you have to know. We have this great privilege, and if we don't know it, if we give up this privilege, then that is very foolish. And also, And prayer is very important to our daily life. It's very crucial for our life. The Bible talks about that as well. Prayer is talking with God, the Father who saved us. It's a conversation. It's a communication. You know, these days, even elementary school students have a cell phone, right? Everybody has a smartphone these days. Why? If you need to talk with your parents, you could call your parents. You could call your friends. Now these days, if you don't have your smartphone, then you're nervous. If your cell phone is broken, you have to fix it or change it quickly. Why? Because you become nervous without this. Let's say the father and the son are together all day long and they don't talk. Let's say the married couple are together all day, they don't talk. You're best friends and you don't talk. Then that doesn't make sense. There's something wrong. The more you are, the closer you are, you want to talk more, right? If you have a hard time, you talk about it. If there's something nice, you talk about it. You want to have a good conversation with people close to you. And God wants to have a good conversation with us. So prayer is the connection with God. You know, you love to talk with your friends with your smartphone. And why don't you want to talk with God through prayer? Do you think it's something you don't need to do? How can you live your Christian life without praying to God? Prayer is a tool to get closer to God. It is a great way to be closer to Him. If you look at James 4 verse 8, it says, "Draw near to God and He will draw near to you." We have to give efforts to draw near to God. What is the way to draw near to God? Prayer. You could get closer to God by prayer. In Psalms 145 verse 18, "The Lord is near to all who call upon Him, to all who call upon Him in truth." When we pray to God, we feel that God is close to us, right? You know, some people go to the top of the mountain and scream with all his strength, "Oh Lord!" Is God deaf? Will God say from far away, "Why are you calling me?" I've seen a lot of people pray like that, but that's not really the way. Even when you're walking on the way, you could pray to God. And as soon as you wake up, you could pray to God. Before you go to sleep, you could pray to God. When you have a hard time, you could pray to God. That's great. You could pray to Him anytime. When you have a hard time, you could call people close to you with your smartphone, right? Let's say that you have the hotline to the president and he could do anything for you. Let's say the president gave you a private number and you just press this button and you are just directly connected to him and he could help you. Wow, that's great, right? That's a great privilege. And what about us? We have the Father in heaven, the creator of the heavens and the earth, our Savior, and He wants to be close to us. He wants to talk with us. He says, "Ask anything in my name and I will do it." And in James 4 verse 2, it says that you can't get it because you don't ask for it. Yet you do not have because you do not ask. There are so many things God wants to give us, but we don't ask for it. Yet you do not have because you do not ask. God wants to give us so many things, and God can't give it to us. Why? Because we don't ask for it. God wants to give salvation to all people, but people don't ask for it. If we pray for it, He will give us, but if we don't pray, He can't give it to us. He wants to give us, but why don't we pray? To make a few dollars, we have to go through a lot of difficulties, and God just wants to give us everything, and we don't pray. Prayer is a great privilege and a blessing, and we don't pray. Praying is something that covers our weaknesses. Although we are weak, when we ask God in our prayers, God helps us. Praying is knowing that you're weak and relying on God and asking for help. If you think you could do anything, everything, with your own strength, you wouldn't pray to God. But we know without God's help, we can't do anything. Well, I could go wherever I want without God. Not by your own will. But inside the Word of God, inside the help of God, inside the prayer of God, we have to live. And without prayer, how can we live the right Christian life? We have to pray. Hebrews 4 verse 6 says, if Hebrews 4:16, it says, "Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." In time of need. But we always need grace. Well, each person may be different, but according to the time of need, we have to pray. And God will help us. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. In time of need, we could pray and God will help us. And prayer, if we pray, we could find our hidden sins. And we could be forgiven of our sins. We could receive the new blessings of God. Our soul could be renewed. We could live our life in the blessings of God. If we pray, we have to pray. If we don't pray, our conscience will be useless. It will be dull. Even if we have hidden sin, we don't know it if we don't pray. There are sins we hide, but there are sins we don't know about. So in Psalms 19, if you read Psalms 19, verse 12 and 13, it says, "Who can understand his errors? Cleanse me from secret faults." Keep back your servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me, then I shall be blameless. And verse 12 says, "Who can understand his errors? Cleanse me from secret faults. Keep back your servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then I shall be blameless and I shall be innocent of great transgression." We have to pray. Even if you have a small sin, if you hide it, God is watching you. before we were born again, we committed a lot of sins, and God doesn't care about that. But since we commit after we are born again, God watches us, and He knows that we are committing sin. When we commit sin, our fellowship with God is disconnected. You have a smartphone, and if your smartphone doesn't work, you check the battery and charge it, and if it's broken, you try to fix it. But your connection with God is broken a long time ago, and you don't even care about it. You don't want to talk with God. That's a problem. Then your Christian life is just zero. It's not working. If you really want to live the right Christian life, you have to pray. Just as the Bible says, we have to pray. In Psalms, in 139, verse 23-24, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me, and know my anxieties. And see if there is any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." You know, David prayed before God. "Oh, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxieties, and see if there's any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." Lead me in the way everlasting. Before the holy God, the everlasting God, if we want to go to Him, we have to be clean before Him. But if you have hidden sins and don't know about it, that's a problem. Some people, they have a problem in their Christian life. They don't know about it. They're brave about however they're living. They did something wrong. They have sinned, but they are brave before God. Their conscience became dull. But Christians should be vigilant. We should be very watchful whether we have sins or not. "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxieties, and see if there's any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Let me know my sins." We have to pray to God, and when we have the time of prayer, then we are reminded of our sins. Disobeying the word of God, hating our brothers and sisters, being arrogant and proud, judging other people. God will let us know about our sins. Everything we did that does not please God, we will be reminded of them. We will know it. If we don't pray, we don't know. We become dull in front of God. We have to pray. And by praying, we can know the deep will of God. You know, we have to read the Bible a lot and memorize a lot of verses, but what is important is that the Bible is written by the inspiration of God. So without the help of the Holy Spirit, it's very difficult to understand the Bible. So in Psalms 119:18, it says, "Open my eyes that I may see wondrous things from your law." Let me know the deep meanings of your word. If we know the Bible, we have to obey. If you just say, "The word is a word and I'll live my own life," that's not right. That's actually ignoring God. "Oh, the Bible says this, but I'm not going to listen to the Bible. I'm going to live however I want to." God knows that. God knows your heart. In Psalms 119:41, it says, let verse 43, and take not the word of truth utterly out of my mouth, for I have hoped in your ordinances. And verse 34, it says, give me understanding, and I shall keep your law. Indeed, I shall observe it with my whole heart. With my whole heart. If we have this heart, God will give us wisdom and let us understand the Word of God. Jeremiah 33 verse 3, it says, call to me, and I will answer you, and show you great and mighty things which you do not know. You know, God said to Jeremiah, call to me, and I will answer you, and show you great and mighty things which you don't know. Which you don't know. And this verse is given to us today as well. To those who pray, God will give them understanding. He will show great and mighty things that we didn't know, that other people don't know. And by praying, we could win the temptations of the devil. And we could be vigilant and awake. Matthew 6 verse 13, Jesus said, pray like this. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. The temptation of the devil comes to us again and again and again, and it was the same for Jesus. Jesus was baptized in the Jordan River, and he was full of the Holy Spirit, and then he was tested by the devil, and he won against the test. But was that the end? No. The devil tempted him his whole life. Even on the cross, the devil tempted, oh, come down from your cross, and then I will believe. The devil tried to tempt Jesus through Peter, his closest disciple. The temptations of the devil are endless, and if we are just lowering our guards any time, then we will fall down. Do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one, the devil. If we pray, we could win. But to win, we have to pray. In the hard times, if we don't pray, we will fall down into temptation and we will be just devoured by the devil. And that's a very awful thing to happen. And the disciples did not pray. And they fell down in the temptations of the devil. They all ran away when Jesus was being captured. And also, God gives the strength and power to do the will of the Father to those who pray. If we know God's will and don't do it, maybe we don't have the strength to do it. And then we say, oh, I tried to do it, it doesn't work, oh, I give up. But does God ask us to do something we can't? Saving us was done by God. Living according to God's will is done by the help of God. There is the blessings that God gives us according to due season. Although we may be in a very difficult situation, if we rely on God, He gives us the power. So in 1 Chronicles, it says, "Seek the Lord and His strength, seek His face evermore." 1 Chronicles chapter 16, verse 9. 2 Chronicles 6, verse 9 says, Second Chronicles 16, verse 9, "For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth, to show Himself strong on behalf of those whose heart is loyal to Him. In this you have done foolishly, therefore from now on you shall have wars." We have to obey the word in our Christian life. But why don't we obey the word, and how come we don't have strength in our Christian life? Why? Why are we living the wrong life? Because we don't pray. Because we are far away from God. About our flesh, we want to be healthy, we eat healthy food, do exercise, do this and do that. But why don't we try to live our Christian life by the power of God? How come we can't live the right Christian life? I can't. Why? We were saved by the grace and power of the Lord, and God promised to give everything, but we don't pray and we try to do by our own strength and will. That's why. We try to do it on our own. If we ask, He will give it to us. Anything we ask, He will do it. And the Lord said, "Wouldn't the Father in heaven give you everything that is good?" The apostles prayed, and all the saints before us, the workers of God, prayed. All those who worked for God and were used preciously, they prayed in their daily lives. In Ephesians 3, verse 15 and 16, Apostle Paul said, "From whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. For this reason, I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, that He would grant you, according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened with might through His Spirit in the inner man." So in the epistle given to the Ephesian church, Apostle Paul said that He would grant you, according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened with might through His Spirit in the inner man. Our flesh has to be healthy, but our inner man has to be strong as well. To do the will of God, we can't do it with our own strength. We need the power of God given to us. We have to be strong in the inner man. We have to pray to be strong. There are so many verses in the Bible that talks about prayer. To do the will of God and preach the gospel, we have to receive the power of God. We have to be strong in the inner man. And we have to ask God to give us strength. And we Christians should be on the front line and preaching the gospel, right? And we have to pray for those who are. We have to pray for the pastors and evangelists that are preaching the gospel in the front line. If you look at Ephesians 6, verse 19 and 20, it's, Apostle Paul said, "And for me," for Paul, "that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak." So, Apostle Paul asked the church to pray for him so that he may open his mouth boldly and speak the mystery of the gospel. You know? We have to pray for those who preach the gospel. The preacher has to learn and study the Bible, but that's not it. Without the power of God, it's useless. Pray that utterance may be given to me. You know, these days, I really think while preparing the sermons. After I was born again, for 57 years, I've been preaching the gospel. But I really know that preparing the sermon is so difficult, and I can't do it alone. It doesn't happen just like that. You have to read the Bible more, pray more, and ask for the power of God more. You have to really pray, "Oh God, please give me the word." I pray so much for God to help me. For the Sunday sermon, I prepare since Monday and pray to God and read the Bible, pray to God and think about the word. I really pray, "Open my eyes that I may see wondrous things from your law." Apostle Paul didn't just pray alone, but asked the church to pray for him. And for me, I know that there are so many brothers and sisters praying for me. Brothers and sisters say from time to time, "Oh, Pastor, I pray for you. I pray for you every day. Cheer up. Thank you so much." Of course I'll cheer up. The reason that I am still healthy and I am able to preach the gospel, it's not my strength, I know that. It's by the help of God. And behind that, there's a prayer of the church. I know that. Colossians 4, verse 3 and 4, Apostle Paul said, he told the Colossian church, "Meanwhile, praying also for us." And so Apostle Paul and other brothers and sisters preaching with him, "Meanwhile, praying also for us that God would open to us a door for the word to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in chains, that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak." Before judging about the preacher, that he's doing a good job or not, we have to first pray. Pray that the door for the word be open. And right now, we are preaching in 77 different countries all over the world, and I don't understand how this could happen. New places are opening for the word. God opens so much that we can't really keep up with it. God is opening the door for the word for us. We have to pray. "Open to us a door for the word to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in chains." Apostle Paul was in chains, but still preached the gospel. And he prayed that God opens the word, that he may make it manifest as he ought to speak. If we pray, God gives us the word to preach. And in Corinthians it says, "By your prayer, by grace I am preaching." And for Apostle Paul to keep up with his preaching, he needed the prayer of the church. And it's the same today. We have to pray. So among the things that Christians can do, prayer is so important. "Oh, I don't have money, I don't have strength, I don't have talent." Then pray. You could pray. You know, sometimes the senior citizens come to me and say, "Oh, Pastor, I pray for you early morning." I don't say, "Don't pray for me." I say, "Pray for me. Keep on praying for me. Continue to pray for me. Please pray for me." That really helps me. That gives me strength. And also, there is the conversation between brothers and sisters that is pleasing to God. We talk according to the will of God. That is also a prayer, you know. In Malachi 3 verse 16, it says, "Then those who feared the Lord spoke to one another, and the Lord listened and heard them." Wow. So a book of remembrance was written before him for those who fear the Lord and who meditate on his name. Wow, this is a really amazing verse. You know, when there are kids and kids talk to each other, the parents listen to the conversation, right? And let's say the kids were talking, "Hey, you know, it's our dad's birthday now. Let's prepare a good present. Let's do this. Let's do that." And if the parents listen to that, wow, that's really pleasing to them, right? "Oh, my kids grew up so much. They want to do something for me." Wow, the parents are so happy, right? "Oh, I should help them do whatever they want to do," the parents think. "And the Lord listened and heard them and wrote a memo on the book of remembrance." Why? God helps us do whatever we want to do in the will of God. So when brothers and sisters are talking, don't say about bad things. God is listening, you know. Talk about good things. That's also like a prayer. The good fellowship between brothers and sisters could be a prayer. And if we want to pray a prayer that God listens to us, then we have to learn how through the Bible. If we want to pray a prayer that gives us strength, we have to do according to the Bible. First, of course, you have to be sure about your salvation. "Oh, Father in heaven, if a born-again prays like that, oh, Father in heaven, then the Father will say, 'Yes, my son.'" When the religious leaders said, "Oh, Father in heaven," at Jesus' time, Jesus said, "No, he's not your father. Your father's a devil." Well, there is a prayer that people who are not born again could pray. In Luke 8 verse 48, the tax collector prayed, "Oh, Father, I'm a sinner. If somebody is drowning in the water, he could cry out, 'Oh, please help me,' right? He could pray like that. If you are drowning in water and say, "Save me if you want to, I don't care. I'm drowning in water, but why don't you give me a bunch of money? Why don't you give me a good job?" Is that a prayer? The prayer should be, "Help me, save me." If you're not born again, any other prayer doesn't make any sense. You have to first pray, "Oh Lord, please save me." That's the prayer a person who's not born again could pray. And the Bible also says praying in the Lord's name, in Jesus' name. "If you ask anything in my name, I will do it," Jesus said. That is relying on the works of Jesus Christ who saved us. And God listens to the prayer that is according to his will. In Matthew, when Jesus was praying in Gethsemane, he prayed, "Oh my Father, if it's possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will." That was Jesus' prayer. Jesus prayed, "Don't do my will, but your will." There is my will, and there is God's will. There is something I want, but God doesn't give me what I want, but he wants to give me what he wants. It's about his will, not my will. you don't have because you ask and do not receive because you ask amiss that you may spend it on your pleasures. And in 1 John 5 verse 14 says, now this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. If we pray anything according to His will hear us. So if we don't know if it's God's will or not, we should first pray that God lets us know what is His will. And if we don't know if this prayer is right or not, we should ask the people who have better faith than us. And if it is God's will, then we have to pray 10 years, 20 years until it is fulfilled. There is a prayer according to His will. So that's why in Matthew 6, verse 10, Jesus said, "Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." There is the will to be done in heaven, and then if we pray, it will be done on the earth. So when we pray, we have to know the will of God, and we have the desire, wanting to do according to God's will. We have to first know God's will, and we have to want to do according to God's will. In John 15 verse 17, it says, "If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. If I abide in the Lord and the word of the Lord abides in me, whatever I ask for, whatever I desire, I will desire what God wants, and if I ask, it shall be done for you," it says. If you ask for something you want and it's not according to God's will, God doesn't give you. So in Romans 8 verse 26, it says, "Likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses, for we don't know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit Himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered." So even when we don't know what we have to pray for, the Spirit knows, and the Spirit prays for us with groanings and utterings that cannot be uttered. So we have to pray that God's will be done. Even if I want something very desperately, if it is not God's will, I have to pray, "Do your will, not my will." I have to pray what is according to God's will. And there's a prayer that we do according to faith. In Mark 11 verse 24, "Therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you will have them." When we pray, we could pray with faith. We could pray with faith that God will fulfill it. So in James 1 verse 6 and 7, it says, "When you pray, but let him ask in faith with no doubting. For he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord." He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. He's double-minded. He doesn't have faith that God will give. If you are double-minded like that, you will not receive. If you know that something is God's will, you should pray with great courage and confidence. So we should pray with faith. And God listens to honest prayers, an honest prayer. In Psalm 17 verse 1, it says, it was a prayer of David, "Hear a just cause, O Lord, attend to my cry, give ear to my prayer, which is not from deceitful lips." So God listens to honest prayers. "Give ear to my prayer, which is not from deceitful lips." What is a prayer that comes from not deceitful lips? Luke 6:46, Jesus said, But why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do the things which I say? No, even people of the world do prayers that are amazing, but they don't do the will of the Lord. That is a prayer from deceitful lips. And God doesn't listen to the prayer that is not from an honest mouth. If those don't look back on themselves and check themselves according to the will of God and the word of God, the prayer is like an abomination. When a son is obedient to the father gives anything the son wants, right? And when a son doesn't listen to the father won't want to give anything, he will take away. You don't listen to me and just ask me this and that, you're getting nothing, the father could say. We have to give an honest prayer. And those who try to hide their sins will not succeed. He who covers his sins will not prosper, but whoever confesses and forsakes them will have mercy. Proverbs 28 verse 13. So if there's something wrong, you have to take care of that first. He who covers his sins will not prosper. In Psalm 66, 19, but certainly God has heard me, he has attended to the voice of my prayer. But in 18 it says, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear. If I have sin in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. If you have sin and give testimony as if you have good faith, God will not be deceived. You have to take care of that sin first. In 1 Chronicles, David said, I know also, my God, that you test the heart and have pleasure in uprightness. As for me, in the uprightness of my heart, I have willingly offered all these things, and now with joy I have seen your people who are present here to offer willingly to you. We have to have an honest heart. Not being honest, that's hypocrisy. In Mark 7 verse 6, it says, well did Isaiah prophesy of you hypocrites, as it is written, this people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. So, the prayer should be honest. Our prayer and our wish should be the same. Our prayers and our desires should be the same and according to the will of the Lord. And also God listens to the prayer that is earnest and sincere. In Luke 11 verse 5, there's this story. Let's say, which of you shall have a friend, and go to him at midnight and say to him, friend, lend me 3 loaves, for a friend of mine has come to me on his journey, and I have nothing to set before him. And he will answer from within and say, do not trouble me, the door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give to you. I say to you, though he will not rise and give to him because he is his friend, yet because of his persistence, he will rise and give him as many as he needs. So when we pray with persistence, if we just pray like, oh, if you give me or not, I don't care, then would God give you? That's not a prayer. If you pray earnestly, persistently, sincerely, from the bottom of your heart, with all you have, if you pray like that, God will listen. God will listen to you. God will listen to your earnest prayers. From Luke 18, verse 1 to the end, it says, "Then he spoke a parable to them that men always ought to pray and not lose heart, saying that there was in a certain city a judge who did not fear God nor regard man. Not now there was a widow in that city, and she came to him, saying, 'Get justice for me from my adversary.' And he would not for a while, but afterward he said within himself, 'Though I do not fear God nor regard man, yet because this widow troubles me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me.'" So, he was an unjust judge, but listened to a widow. "And shall God not avenge his own elect, who cry out day and night to him, though he bears long with him? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, he will really find faith on the earth." So, we have something for God to avenge. We have to cry out day and night to God. We have to shake God again and again. "God, are you sleeping? Wake up and listen to me. Please listen to my prayer." Of course, God is not sleeping. But we have to pray continuously. God sometimes just stays still to watch us. Hebrews 5 verse 7 says, "Who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with vehement cries and tears to him, who was able to save him from death and was heard because of his godly fear?" Jesus cried out to God and God listened. But Jesus prayed a lot. He prayed with vehement cries. And we have to pray like that. We have to pray with all we have, all our heart, all our mind, and all our strength. If we pray like, "I don't care if you give me or not," God won't listen. And God also is pleased to hear prayers that are prayed together. In Matthew 18, verse 19, it says, "Again, I say to you that if two of you agree on earth concerning anything that they ask, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven." "For where two or three are gathered together in my name, I am there in the midst of them." So when we pray together, God is pleased to listen. You know, in Acts 1:14, when 120 disciples were together and praying together, God was pleased and gave them the Holy Spirit. And on the day of Pentecost, 3,000 people were saved at once. And also at Acts chapter 2, those 3,000 people who were saved were taught by the apostles, learned from the apostles, and they prayed with all their heart. The 120 at the day of Pentecost were like that. And 3,000 were saved, so now there are 3,120. "As soon as they were born again, the multitude became one heart and cried out to God." They learned from the apostles, had fellowship together, and prayed with one heart for the will of God to be done. So the prayer is the way to drag down the power of God. And in Exodus, when the Israelites were coming out of the uh, came out from Egypt, they had war with the Amalekites, and Joshua went out to have war, and Moses was on the top of the mountain and praying. And when Moses' hands came down, the Amalekites were winning. And if his hands went up, Israel was winning. So what happened? So he had people helping him have his hands up, praying, and he won. So what does that mean? Although we can't see it, the Lord is praying for us. The Holy Spirit is praying for us. And when we pray together in one heart, God works. When we pray for those out there working as missionaries, when we pray for the church, for God to help us with difficult problems of the church, God works with us. When we pray together, God helps us. When we pray together, God shows His power and works among us. So, if you look at the Bible, as you well know, when the Israelites were captive to Babylon in Mede-Persian era, there was the general, Haman. He was number two in power. And he got the decree to kill all the Jews in one day. And Mordecai knew that and told Esther. You're a Jew too. Don't think you'll be peaceful because you're in the palace. Maybe you became queen because of this time. And Esther said, okay. If she goes to the king, if the king doesn't call her, she could die. But she said, I will die if I die. Please pray for me. Go gather all the Jews who are present in Shushan and fast for me, neither eat nor drink for 3 days, night or day. My maids and I will fast likewise. And so I will go to the king, which is against the law. And if I perish, I perish. And then what happened? God worked. So when we pray together, God listens. And also, God listens to those who please God. And also in 1 John 3 verse 22 it says, and whatever we ask, we receive from Him, because we keep His commandments and do those things that are pleasing in His sight. If we please God, God listens to our prayers. In James 5, 6, it says, in James it says, the prayer of the righteous God listens to. So Elijah, when it didn't rain for 3 years and a half, he had the same flesh as we did, but Elijah was a righteous man. He prayed to God earnestly, and then rain came down. It was a miracle. Maybe we don't show those kind of miracles. If we live righteously in front of God, if we please God, God will listen to our prayers. Because the prayer of the righteous, God hears. In Proverbs 28 verse 9 it says, one who turns away his ear from hearing the law, even his prayer is an abomination. So we have to obey the word of God. And then we could pray a prayer that God listens to. And Luke 18 verse 1 says, we should always ought to pray and not lose heart. We have to continuously pray. Even the unjust judge that did not fear God, the widow bothered him again and again, and he finally listened. And God is a just God, and if we pray again and again, God will listen. Think about Jesus. He prayed the same prayer 3 times at Gethsemane. Oh Father, let this cup pass from me, but do not do my will, do your will. He prayed continuously again and again. And that is an expression of the earnest heart. If you look at Matthew chapter 15 and 20, verse 21 and onwards, a woman of Canaan came to Jesus and cried out, have mercy on me, O Lord. My daughter is severely demon-possessed. But Jesus didn't even listen to her. And the disciples said, Lord, she's kind of noisy, you know. Do something. Or make her go away. And Jesus said, it is not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the little dogs. He's like kind of, it looks like he's like despising the women. Jesus is saying, you're a Gentile. I'm not giving my children's bread to you. But the women came and asked again. The Jews were like that. The Jews are people and the Gentiles are like dogs. But Jesus was actually testing the woman's faith. And let's say that this happened to us. What? I'm a dog? I'm a dog? Seriously? We'd be mad, right? I'm a person and you're calling me a dog? Probably we could be mad and just go away. But what did the woman say? Yes, Lord. Yet even the little dogs eat the crumbs which fall from their master's table. I don't want your bread. Just give me some crumbs. Have mercy on me. Wow. Then Jesus answered and said to her, O woman, great is your faith. Jesus was not despising the woman. He was testing her faith. He was testing how continuously and fervently the woman would pray. And sometimes God wants to see how continuously we pray. How we pray with great endurance and patience. How sincere we are, God wants to see. So sometimes we really have to pray continuously, again and again, until God listens. God is watching how sincere we are. So in Thessalonians it says, pray without ceasing. So we have to remember how important prayer is. We have to remember without praying, we can't live the right Christian life. There are so many verses in the Bible that tells us how important prayer is. Prayer is a fundamental factor of our Christian life. We have to pray without ceasing. We have to pray the prayer that God listens to. If we become that person that pleases God, listens to God, and prays the right prayer, God will listen to our prayers. We are actually people that could drag the power of God to this world. We have great privilege. We have great power. We half prayer. So we have to learn how we have to pray the right prayer, and we actually have to pray the right way, and we have to pray continuously with a sincere heart again and again. If we don't pray, God does not help us. Ask anything and I will do it. That's a promise. We don't have because we don't ask for it. There are so many blessings that we could get by praying, but if we don't pray, we are giving up all the blessings of God. So, we have to pray according to the will of God, according to the word of God. If we pray again, we could live the right Christian life, and we could fulfill the great works of God. Let's pray together. Our merciful Father in heaven, you saved us, and you want to give us greater blessings and grace, and you are together with us by your word and by spirit. We thank you. We learned today about prayer. We are learning about the four things that are really important for a Christian life, and today we learned about prayer. Let us really understand your word. Let us live the right Christian life, not just formally, but sincerely. Let us live the normal, ordinary Christian life. Please hold our hearts through your word and your strength, your hands. Let us live the right life. Let us pray. And let us do your will and fulfill your great works. We pray it in our Lord's name, Jesus Christ. Amen. Now let's sing hymns. 482, 482.